grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I would like you to imagine tonight that you are in a courtroom. And in this courtroom, there is a prosecuting attorney seated behind a table. The defense attorney seated behind a table. And a judge seated behind the bench of justice. And the jury. All of us are seated behind the defense attorney. All of us. For each of us is on trial. There are no onlookers, no spectators, no innocent bystanders at this trial. You and I are on trial. We are on trial. We are accused. We are accused of many charges. Charges that resulted in sin. The sins we committed by word, thought, and deed. We sin by things that we have done. We sin by things that we have left undone. Behind the judge's bench sits the judge, looking at each of us sternly in the eye, because the judge is God himself. And the prosecuting attorney, the one who is trying to prove our guilt, our sinful ways, is none other than Satan himself. He is in fine form calling witness after witness against us, to testify against us, to proclaim our sinful deeds and our deeds of love we have failed to do. But he has also videotaped highlights of our lives, things we did which we thought no one would ever know, things we thought about doing which we thought were in secret. He showed lies and the gossip that we spread. In that videotape, even the inner thoughts of our mind's eye come to life. Our thoughts of hate, of not forgiving another, revenge, selfish attitudes, placing our wants and needs as the number one priority in our life. All these the devil has videotaped and is playing it before us, before our neighbors, our friends, our spouse, families, and God himself. The devil even quotes the Bible. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Or we are all like sheep and have gone astray. No one is righteous. No, not one. The evidence becomes overwhelming. We are defenseless. The guilt seems overwhelming. The sin too great to be defensed. But after the prosecuting attorney is finished, after Satan has paraded our lies before us and God, the defense attorney begins to represent us. For this attorney is our Jesus Christ. The sinful evidence is overwhelming. Jesus calls witnesses who try to say our deeds are not sins. Even one witness blames the prosecuting attorney, the devil, for our sins. We are called in our own behalf, but to no avail. We confess that we have sinned. And we have broken the law, and we stand in judgment. As the defense attorney rests his case, it's clear what the verdict will be, what it must be. The facts are there. In the final instruction to the jury, the judge reminds them of one more scripture: the wages of sin is death. The jury is out for a long time. We get restless. We scurb. We're ooching and scooching in our seats. We know that our very lives are at stake. The defense attorney, Jesus, is sober and thoughtful. Finally, the jury returns. Has the jury reached a verdict? Yes, we have, Your Honor. What is your verdict? The foreman clears his throat. He unfolds a printed verdict. Without looking up, he reads it clearly and loudly. Your Honor, on all the charges in this case, we find the defendants not guilty. Not guilty? The crowd is buzzing alive. They can't believe it. You turn to your neighbor and question. You laugh, you cry, you wonder. You wonder why. How can this be? You know deep within your heart and soul the guilt, the wrongs, the burdens you carry with you are heavy weight on your back, upon your very life. You glance over to the prosecuting attorney, the devil who falls back into his chair, slumped over in shock and disbelief. He wanted the guilty verdict, of course, because he knew of our guilt. He wanted to take charge of us, to be in control. Then you look at the defense attorney. But Jesus is not there, not at his table. He must have stepped out for a moment just before the jury returned. The crowd begins to rise, and you rise too, and begin to file out of the great courtroom. You are not celebrating the verdict, the victory, which is yours. As you turn to go out the door, you pass by a window. And the laughter and joy now turns to silence. You see in the distance a shadow and then an outline. There is a figure out there. There's a person. It's a man. You focus your eyes and you see your defense attorney, Jesus. You see him hanging on the cross and you see him take his final breath. And then slump over, dead. The lifeblood, all the life-giving spirit, the love, the compassion, all the kindness in which he defended you, gone from his soul, his heart, his very life. Then the impact hits you between the eyes. Your defense attorney, Christ Jesus, died in your place. You have been made innocent because Jesus took your place. As you stare in disbelief at the cross and you see your defense attorney, you stare in thanksgiving, in love, in praise, in wonderment that he loved you so much that he died on the cross so that you wouldn't be punished for your sins. You think to yourself, well, he must have made a deal with the judge. He knew he couldn't win the case. The evidence was too much. All the tapes, the witnesses, the confessions of sin was too overwhelming. He knew he couldn't win. He knew the verdict before it was even pronounced. So he made a deal with the judge. He asked if he could take your place, take my punishment for our sins, the wrongs which we clearly demonstrated in our life. During this time of Lent, we are overwhelmed as we fix our eyes on that cross, the lifeless, limp, bruised Jesus who died to save you, to save all of us from our sins. We are in awe of the love you have for us, dear Lord, love that is willing to die, so we wouldn't have to. And at the same time, I know Easter is coming. I know that there is hope. There is hope to live. I know through the resurrection, there is new life for us. Lord, help us to live in and through you and for you. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.